This is a story about how a long-distance relationship led to a murder.
This night is the saddest night every year here.
There's a killer out there. There's a killer among us daily. We want justice for her.
Eighteen-year-old Elaine Nix lived in Georgia in the year 1999. She was a young girl who wanted to help people and become a registered nurse. At the time, she had dropped out of high school and was working in a restaurant as a hostess. She was loved by everyone, including her boyfriend, Billy Millwood. Billy lived 30 minutes away, in Cleveland, Georgia. This meant that most nights they would call each other rather than see each other. Elaine called Billy on her house phone each night, which led to Elaine's phone bill racking up to $75 each month. Her mother could not afford this, and so she blocked all long-distance calls, telling Elaine to find another way to communicate with Billy. Elaine found a payphone near a store called Zach's Food Rack, which cost her 35 cents for any amount of time. Elaine and Billy liked this idea and created a routine where at 11 p.m. each night she would call him from the payphone, and they would talk for about an hour.
Let's be honest, Chip. Would you spend $75 to chat to your other half in a long-distance relationship?
That would mean I would be... I don't simp.
Yeah.
Women.
That's so true.
$75.
And you know what? It's important because the mum actually recognised that and said, you should not be simping for your man.
Back then as well, this was like, 20 years ago? It's probably like double that now or some shit, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy prices.
It is. It's true. And I don't blame the mum for getting rid of the cord there because, look, hey, that's a lot of bread. That's a lot of cheddar.
On September 20th, 1999, apparently the couple had had an argument and Elaine went to call Billy to sort it out. They spent the call resolving it and talking about an upcoming camping trip which they were going to have. Once the call ended, Billy assumed that Elaine would go back home. When Elaine did not return home, her family were not worried as it was normal for Elaine to go stay with a friend or a cousin. However, they did begin to worry when Elaine did not show up to a job at a local restaurant, especially as it was payday. When the parents grew concerned, they decided to go check Zach's food rack. When they arrived, they found her car with the driver's window down. In the car, they found the key in the ignition, her handbag, and cigarettes. The only things missing were her address book and Elaine herself. The mother decided to drive Elaine's car home. By doing so, she contaminated it and removed it from a potential crime scene.
What was the mother thinking, Chip? Why the hell did she think it was a good idea? I mean, well, no, she should have left it. If you see your daughter's car empty, keys still in the ignition, something has happened here.
Yeah.
Don't touch the car. Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's a bit harsh of me to say that. Would you? Because your initial reaction would be like, look, I'm going to drive this car home and then I'm going to go look for my daughter.
Yeah, it's hard because you've got to put yourself in that spot. And you'd probably just think, oh, she's left the car.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know. If I saw the ignition on with the car, door open in it, she wasn't at home that night, now I'd probably be worried.
The jury's out. We're not sure if the mum was stupid for this or not. You guys let us know in the comments. What do you think?
When they arrived home, they contacted the police. The police did not seem to be too worried and assumed she just ran away for a short period of time, but they still set up roadblocks. The police assumed her to be a troublemaker after hearing she had previously ran away. Elaine's parents were not satisfied and did not support the running away theory. Her friends and family organized a search party but were unsuccessful in finding her. They also wrote a handwritten missing persons poster. On September 29th, 1999, 9 days after her disappearance, a man who was cutting grass found a new body in a fetal position inside a tree line of some woods 17 miles away from the payphone. After examining the dental records and the tattoos, they identified the body to be Elaine Nix. Her body was nude, but she was still wearing her inexpensive jewelry. Since her body was found past the Hall County borderline and into Gwinnett County, it brought in another police department into the investigation.
As soon as you hear about a woman's body being found the way it did, you're instantly thinking worst case scenario, all of that. But what I found interesting was a couple of things. First thing was that I know that her jewelry wasn't that expensive, but if you're gonna, like, you know, strip down a woman, things like that, like, and you were clearly a scumbag, right? Would you not take the jewelry as well?
I don't know. Like, or is it like just... you're wearing like a little bracelet, like you're gonna go ahead and unclip it and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a tricky one.
I just thought it was a little bit weird. You take all her clothes and everything like that, but not the jewelry. Seemed a bit weird, but yeah, like we said, it wasn't expensive stuff. So maybe the guy recognized the brand and was like, yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Not only that, but the body was also found quite far away. It's not like this was down the road and in a forest somewhere. This was 17 miles away.
Yeah. So she's obviously been taken in some, like a van, a car, truck. Like
that's
100%.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because if we look at the state in which the car was found, door open, all of that jazz, I think that she's been like almost removed from a car.
And put in another one
and then taken, yeah, further down. And it was in another jurisdiction, which does make things a little bit more complicated, but... yeah, very sus.
When they found her body, the heat and humidity was high, resulting in Elaine's body being in an advanced stage of decomposition. Her cause of death was unidentified, but due to the lack of signs of injury, the medical examiner did lean towards suffocation. Records of the phone call show that Elaine hung up the phone at 10 minutes past midnight. On the same night at 2 a.m, a police officer on his nightly surveillance saw her car and inspected it. The hood of the car was still warm and the keys were in the ignition. And he thought it was peculiar for a car to be so prepared for someone to rob it, but carried on with his patrol. The car itself didn't contain much evidence, and no one saw anything out of the ordinary on the night she went missing. And so, the case went cold.
Not gonna lie, it's a little bit annoying, the fact that it was relatively soon after her death that they still couldn't figure out the exact reasoning for the cause of death. Mm. So they reckon it was suffocation, but there was no obvious reasons for her death. There was nothing there that said, okay, this is definitely how it happened. The fact that she was stripped naked, you think there was something maybe sexual there, but there was no evidence of that. It was just really strange. How does someone die like that, completely naked? Were they poisoned? Did they even look into that? Mm. There's just so many questions here.
Yeah, where's the autopsy at?
Yeah, and can we not get a little bit more evidence here? Is this all we have? Like, I know that this is, you know, kind of far out. It's not bang smack in the middle of a city. But it just seemed a bit... It's 1999. It wasn't like... it wasn't the Stone Ages.
It was very different back then. I was in those...
I mean, I know you were alive then, yeah. But...
I'm old.
You are. You're a fossil.
I was 5, but I still had a forensic brain.
I can respect that, you know.
Although the case went cold, the police were still putting effort into the case. Elaine's best friend, Jennifer Boyd, believed it was someone local, someone in their community. She believes it was a personal attack and senses it is someone who still interacts with Jennifer and Elaine's family. Her father, David, believed that Elaine saw something at the gas station which she shouldn't have seen, potentially a drug deal since the area had a big drug problem.
This first theory is actually one that I quite like, and I probably want to expand on Jennifer Boyd, the best friend's theory. She obviously reckons it's someone within the community. I think it is. I actually think that it was someone that was noticing that she was going there regularly. This person had maybe found her attractive, it was a creep, whatever, and started monitoring when she was going there, and then decided to pick his time to go after her. And knew that she was going to be there, knew that her car was there, because like we said, this was a pretty clean crime, right? It wasn't messy, or it's not as far as we know, with the evidence that we had. It didn't seem too messy, but it did seem like it was, there had to be some element of planning. I don't believe that it just happened off the cuff, like on a total random one. The dad reckoned that it was, seeing something that she shouldn't have seen at the gas station. Dodgy stuff happens at gas stations, so I can understand
that's
that,
true.
But I just think if that's the case, you know, do you really go out your way to kill someone if they've seen something dodgy? Like, if it's a drug deal, are you killing someone over a drug deal? Like, I just think that's extreme.
Yeah, it is a bit extreme. But you know, what if it was something crazy that she saw?
Yeah, if she saw, like, someone else die and they were like, well, we've already killed one person, we'll kill the person that has seen something. But yeah. I just think that all happening at a gas station.
No witnesses.
I just don't think that was the case. I think this was premeditated.
Mafia-level business, maybe.
I'm thinking premeditated.
Plus,
here,
where's the boyfriend in all this?
At home.
Yeah, but you never know.
Sleeping.
They were having an argument. Is it potential that the argument was a little bit worse than... then
so he goes, kidnaps her out of her car, take, like, I'm not, nah.
Yeah, it's a bit far-fetched.
I'm not buying the boyfriend.
We can't rule him out.
Elaine had to drive an hour away to use a phone call her boyfriend. There was no sign of rape when they found her. It was not a robbery. She was left naked, but no signs of assault. Her mother found the car and returned it back to their house before calling the cops. Are the parents involved?
As always with these things, Chip, the parents, they always get chucked into these theories. Now, we did say that there was no sign of anything sexual that had happened. It wasn't a robbery. And she was left naked, but no signs of assault.
Yeah.
And now we have to look back to the bit that we said at the beginning was the mum just drove the car home.
Very sus.
And we agreed, we're not entirely sure if that's weird behaviour. I think it
could be. You look at it from a different angle. Maybe she drove it home because she was trying to make it look like they did nothing wrong. They were involved in it. She's taken away a piece of evidence, but it obviously looks like she can disguise it easily as, oh, I just drove it home because it's my daughter's car.
Yeah, and I think, as well, we have to point out the fact that she doesn't call the police until the car is home. So it's not like she'd rocked up, seen the door open, obviously not seen her daughter, and then gone, oh my God, I need to call the police. She's driven it home. Gone, oh, I should probably call the police now.
Yeah.
I don't know, what order would you do it in?
Is she playing dumb? I'm not sure. I'd probably call the police first, I think. Hard to say, because I've never been in that situation.
That's why I don't really want to jump towards the parents. And if that's the only sort of thing pointing at the parents, I'm not really too fond of the parent theory.
There's nothing to suggest that there was anything going on, any beef between the daughter and the parents or anything like that.
Well, there was the beef with the fact that the mum was clearly fed up with Elaine making those phone calls.
But I mean, she found a solution that was cheap. So it was a win-win for everyone, really.
Viewing some tapes, the authorities found a small dark pickup truck to be driving towards the parking lot of the shop at the time Elaine would have been there. The police couldn't figure out what time the truck left, which could have been instrumental in finding out if this was the murderer's vehicle, one of their only leads. Others questioned whether it could have been a worker at the factory nearby where the body was found.
This small, dark pickup, this is what I'm talking about, Chip. Did this person know that she was going to be there and strike? Do you know what I mean?
There's potential. There is potential, but I mean...
But where's the motive? Are we talking about someone that's just mentally ill?
Is it just a truck that was in the area? Like, how much is really pointing towards this?
But I feel like, look, it's always when you're talking about these places out in the sticks, right? It always involves a pickup truck.
Always.
There's always a pickup truck involved.
It's America. They love them, don't they?
Yeah, like, it's true.
Just got a new truck from birthday.
Yeah, spot on with that one, Chip. But... another thing that a lot of people will probably be questioning is, like you said, does the boyfriend have anything to do with this? He was the last person to speak to her on the phone.
Maybe the phone call ended so usual, though, so standard.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, love you, good night, then boom. The killer sees her, hang up the phone, strikes.
Yeah, walking back to the car, even gets in her car, and then before, again, a geezer walks out of a small, dark pickup truck, taps on the window, and yanks her out. Mm-hmm. Do we know if the phone was left on the payphone? Was it, hanging? Was she abducted mid-phone call? Because if that's the case, then the boyfriend definitely has to our phone just cut off.
I think we would know if that was the case. So I think you're right, and that probably when she was walking back, she's opened the door, boom, snatched.
But it's just, one, what's the motive? And like I said, if it was a creepy guy that found her attractive and just picked her out as a victim, there was nothing sexual that happened, or at least the evidence doesn't show that, right? So what's the motive? Why? But I just don't get it. I feel like there's nothing in this whole case that says this is why. You know what I mean? It's not really a matter of who, but it's also why. Anyways, guys, look, we have to talk about the now. What's happening? What the latest up-to-date info for you guys? The family have in fact moved to a different house and have vowed to never stop bringing awareness to their daughter's case. Mm-hmm. And every anniversary of her death, they go to her gravesite and honor her. Her parents have talked about having her body exhumed, which is a big thing. And because there's new technology these days, maybe they can find a cause of death. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that is quite traumatic for a family to go through, is to have your daughter's body taken up from the ground right? I think that's pretty grim, and it's one of those, maybe they've gotten to the point where they
just want justice.
A bit of peace. It's like, am I really going to dig am I going to dig my daughter's grave up in the hope that new technology will
and
find it?
It might not. So it's like, it's a risky one.
Exactly. And it is important to note, though, that I think at least, that Billy, her boyfriend, actually has been to jail several times for battery, possession of meth as well. But every time he comes out of prison, he contacts the family.
See, that makes it just a little bit more sus. I mean, they're kind of not too super linked, but you know, he obviously gets up to some dodgy stuff.
Yeah, so it's not like he's got the cleanest record.
Potentially, though, like after losing his girlfriend, he went into a downward spiral, and this could be the
effects
of that.
Yeah, for sure. Another thing to note is the fact that no one actually ever found the clothes from her body as well.
Because the killer still has them.
Well, or he's burned them or whatever, but yeah, I just think that's pretty interesting. Any information which could lead to the arrest of the murderer has a $5,000 reward, so if you guys do know anything about it, look, there's $5,000 up for grabs. But also, in 2005, there was an anonymous tip left to Elaine's father claiming they had seen four men dragging Elaine from the gas station, but it was never confirmed.
See, anonymous tips like that, like, where would that just come from? Is it a troll? Is it something more? You never know.
Is it someone with a guilty conscience saying, I need to say something here?
Yeah, maybe it was one of the men.
Four men, though, I feel like,
It's a bit much.
Yeah, but maybe that leads into more of what the dad thinks, which is there was this like drug, like something that they shouldn't have seen. Yeah. And then the four men have all gone, we need to get rid of her. She's seen something. That could lead into it. So look, that's where we're at now. It's been a good one. This one annoyed me a little bit just because there is.
I wish I knew more.
I need more from this. But it is an interesting case nonetheless, and you can definitely let your imagination run wild. So as always, Chip, tell them what they need to do.
Make sure you subscribe and hit that notification bell. You can also follow us on Spotify and listen to the cases there. We upload every Monday at 6 p.m. and we will be back next week for another case.